Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're delighted to welcome once more back to the podcast Sapan Ghai, who is the Chief Commercial Officer of Sovereign Metals. Sapan, thank you very much for being on the podcast this morning.
Thank you very much for having me, Jonathan. Pleasure to be here.
We spoke earlier on in the year, Sapan, and there's been significant announcements from Sovereign Metals. There's been big changes in the resource that we're going to detail, and there's going to be things that we're going to be looking forward to for the rest of 2022 that we're going to discuss later on in the podcast. But before we get into that, Sapan, not everybody listening to this podcast will be familiar with Sovereign Metals. For those that aren't, would you be able to give us a bit of a breakdown of Sovereign and where you're operating, please?
Sure, Jonathan. That's a good place to start. Look, Sovereign Metals, as far as our kind of vision, our mission is concerned, we're focused on becoming a future supplier of sustainably produced critical raw materials for economies looking to tackle global climate change. What that means is the critical raw materials which Sovereign is focused on developing and producing in the future are rutile and graphite. Rutile, bit of a esoteric, exotic mineral, which not many people are completely au fait with, but it's essentially the purest natural form of titanium dioxide, which is used in titanium metal production, pigment production, and a number of other industrial and consumer applications. And we're focused also on producing graphite, which at our main project Cassia is a byproduct of the rutile production, and graphite is a key component of lithium-ion batteries. So look, we intend to meet this vision through the exploration and development of our Cassia rutile graphite project, which is located in Malawi, which is a small landlocked country in southeastern Africa. We've been in Malawi for the last decade, the first 7 or 8 years of which were spent exploring for graphite, including taking one project to pre-feasibility stage before we literally tripped over the Cassia discovery, which now, you know, has become the largest rutile deposit ever discovered and one of the largest flake graphite resources on the planet.
Fantastic. So thank you very much for that outline there, Sapan. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, there's been a number of significant developments since we last spoke together on the podcast. They cover the resources, as well as there's been some pretty positive studies from the environmental side of things at Cassia. Would you be able to give us a breakdown of what's been happening there at Sovereign Metals, please?
Yeah, sure. Look, 2022 has been a real quantum leap for us, and continues to be so, hopefully for the rest of the year. We were originally listed on the ASX in Australia under the ticker SVM. Towards the end of 2021, we gained a secondary listing on AIM as SVML, following increasing investor interest from the UK and Europe. And since the AIM listing, we've been very busy throughout the first half of 2022. In February, we bolstered our team with former Rio Tinto executive Nigel Jones, who joined the board. Nigel brought a huge amount of knowledge, having recently been the managing director of Rio's Simandou iron ore project in Guinea, which is probably one of the largest mining projects in Africa, maybe even the world. And due to the sheer scale of Simandou, Nigel dealt with a huge number of ESG issues, including social license, community relations, all the way through to biodiversity, flora fauna studies. And now Sovereign's harnessed all of that knowledge and experience by bringing Nigel on board. In March, we signed our first rutile MOU for the sale of 25,000 tons of rutile to leading premium rutile trader Haskell International, which is based in the States. They supply the welding industry. This was a big tick for us, not only because it was validation of our product from a third party, which has been in the Rutar business for years, but it confirmed that our Rutar can be used in welding applications. That's important to us because rutile used for welding tends to trade at a premium to standard benchmark rutile by as much as 25 to 35%. Also in March this year, we announced the results of an independent life cycle assessment of our rutile and graphite products. The assessment was undertaken to assess the potential greenhouse gas emissions of producing rutile and graphite at Casilla, based on the operating parameters of an initial scoping study we had put out in mid-December in 2021. While putting together that scoping study, we were conscious that simply producing critical raw materials to tackle climate change isn't enough. Those materials themselves need to be sustainably produced in the first place. So we incorporated a number of sustainable operating procedures, such as hydro mining, harnessing power from hydro and solar sources, progressive rehabilitation of the land, all into that scoping study. So in March, we got the results of that life cycle assessment, which concluded that on a per ton basis, titanium dioxide pigment produced from Casilla's natural rutile could significantly reduce the CO2 emissions of producing synthetic, when compared to producing synthetic alternatives, by up to 97%. And on the graphite side, natural graphite produced from Casilla could potentially have a 99% lower CO2 emissions footprint compared to synthetic graphite currently produced in bulk to meet the needs of graphite demand from the electric vehicles industry. While completing all of this work, we kept our eye on the ball and continued drilling Casilla. And in April, we announced probably our largest or our most interesting announcement to date, which was an updated mineral resource estimate, which tripled the size of Casilla. Tripling it was something that, you know, we thought was never possible, but the drilling, you know, seemed to point in the direction that Casilla really is one of the largest mining discoveries ever made, and cements its position as a truly world-class disruptive asset. You know, we can now comfortably say that we have 1.8 billion tons of material at Casilla. And in that material, that material contains 18 million tons of rutile and 23 million tons of graphite. That makes Casilla the world's largest rutile deposit and one of the largest flake graphite resources ever discovered.
So that's, you know, as you said there, that's a significant bit of news there, Sapan. And, you know, as you said, it's very difficult to underestimate the significance of that news. But I just want to sort of look forward now, maybe, Sapan, and, you know, start to make some comparisons, you know, to where you are, you know, looking at valuations. Because, of course, we're awaiting an updated scoping study, which I think we'll touch on a little bit later in the podcast in more detail. But looking at the last one and, you know, looking at other players out there in the rutile and ilmenite market, there seems to be a bit of a disparity between your valuation and their valuation. I mean, what do you feel could see sort of move in line with those other players out there in the market going forwards?
Yeah, look, for us as a management team, it's about doing the best job on the ground for our shareholders and other stakeholders. We aren't the most promotional mining company out there, but we are very confident of the potential of what we have. You know, since making the Casilla discovery, we've been ticking off boxes one by one, de-risking the project from risks which otherwise bring many mining projects to quite an abrupt end. So for us, you know, we ensured the rutile product we have is of saleable quality with no impurities, which would otherwise deem it defunct. We made sure the infrastructure was in place, viable and had capacity to take our product. Malawi is landlocked, but there is a deep water port at Nacala, and we ensured that, you know, we had ample capacity on what's known as the Nacala Logistics Corridor, which would essentially link Cassia to the deep water port in order to access global markets. You know, we built sustainability and ESG to everything we do from the ground in Malawi all the way to basically our offices in London and Perth. And we continue to concentrate on delivering that shareholder value, even in, you know, current troublesome macro headwinds, shall we say. But we're still hitting each of our milestones one by one. I think if we keep doing that and raising awareness of the company, you know, we will see the value in the share price.
Indeed, indeed. So, as you mentioned, the scoping study, that's something that's, you know, being updated, I believe, at this point in time. Is there any indication of when that may be released at all, Sapan?
Yeah, look, the team's working on it vigorously right now. We promised the market that we would get it out around mid-2022. So from today, that gives us a handful of weeks to deliver. I'm pretty comfortable with that timeline. This enhanced scoping study will take into account the massive increase in the resource and higher quality understanding of the grade profile throughout our land holding. It's very important that I make the point that we aren't going down the hypothetical route here with Cassia. Cassia is absolutely huge. But that doesn't mean that we're going to be putting out a study that says, you know, hypothetically, if we were to spend $1 billion of upfront capex, what could be my NPV? You know, that provides no real value for any of our shareholders and stakeholders. What we're doing is very much sticking to what I term a bite-sized capex figure in developing the project, i.e. a capital outlay, which would be eminently financeable by a company of our size. We're looking forward to hopefully sharing the results of that scoping study or enhanced scoping study in the coming weeks.
Fantastic. So, graphite now, Sapan. You said at the beginning it's a byproduct of rutile, and you know, for listeners that want to know a little bit more about titanium rutile, do check out the video section on the UK Investor Magazine website, because there's a presentation that Sapan delivered at our mining conference there, which really goes into the details. But you know, during your last study, Sapan, graphite was found to be a significant resource there. And that's something I just want to talk about now, because, you know, a lot of the focus has been on the titanium rutile, as it should be. But would you be able to talk a little bit more about the graphite, the resource there, and what the applications would be for the offtake from Cassia?
Yeah, so look, the graphite sits coincident with the rutile in the project. So essentially, if we are producing rutile, we only need a small bit of incremental capex or to put together a graphite concentration plant that sits alongside the rutile plant to produce quite high quality graphite concentrate. So I wouldn't underestimate the graphite byproduct at all. Graphite's always had a vast array of uses, including fire retardants, lubrication, refractory uses, and so on and so forth. But it's slowly beginning to emerge out of its shell as one of the battery minerals, where, you know, a term that we're all so familiar with these days. Without turning this into a full chemistry lesson, you know, a lithium-ion battery is made up of two components, the cathode and the anode. So you've got your positive and negative terminals, and the cathode is where all the sexy stuff lies, like lithium, cobalt, nickel. That all lives within the cathode, and we're all very aware of what the commodity prices of those metals has done over the past few years. But many don't realize that the anode in these batteries, in many cases, is 100% graphite. You know, a lithium-ion battery could potentially be 50% graphite when it comes down to mass. In fact, I urge anyone who hasn't done so already to watch Elon Musk's, who clearly knows a thing or two about batteries. His 2016 Battery Day fireside chat is on YouTube, where he says that lithium ion is almost a misnomer, and and the batteries should be called, you know, verbatim of Elon Musk, a nickel graphite batteries instead. So graphite hasn't had its time in the spotlight like lithium or cobalt, but I'm pretty sure it will come. So we're very, very, pleased to have such a large resource of graphite sitting alongside or concurrent with our rutile at Cassia.
Yes, indeed. I mean, if you're looking at overall EV manufacturing, you know, the graphite element of the car breakdown, if you break down why materials, is significant, and in some cases, the largest element. So as you said, there shouldn't be underestimated in terms of the importance for the electric vehicle revolution that we may see going forward in graphite. So Sapan, please now to finish things off. Now, quite broadly, we've obviously discussed the significant developments we've seen this year in Sovereign. But now let's look forward. What do you feel the future holds for Sovereign, and what can investors keep an eye out for going forward?
Yep. So look, again, a couple of weeks' time, hopefully we'll have a enhanced scoping study out there, which will redefine the operating parameters and the economics of Cassia as it stands. We are kicking off a drilling campaign. We should be kicking that off at some point over the coming few months. That will begin to prove up our resource and hopefully start moving some of that into reserve category, with a view that, you know, we have a pre-feasibility study, so we have a more honed in, a tighter economic and engineering study around the potential of Cassia by the end of the year. Between now and then, we continue to work on getting a few MOUs signed, both on the rutile side, on the graphite side. You know, hopefully we'll begin doing some test work and some analysis that really shows the viability of the graphite in lithium ion batteries. Lots and lots to look forward to for the coming weeks, months, and the rest of 2022.
Fantastic. So, Sapan, thank you much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
So just as a note to listeners, Sovereign Metals, ticker of SVML, and do check out the notes to this podcast. There'll be links to the presentations that we touched on that Sapan delivered earlier on this year, which gives a little bit more background to the rutile side of things. And if you want to sort of drill down into the finer details of some of the resource there and the breakdown, as well as the infrastructure, that's definitely well worth checking out. So thank you very much for listening.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.